How does stress make us sick? I mean, we hear it all the time. Well, stress will kill you. And some people say, and I'm sure they're correct, that 90% of all the illnesses are due to stress. But what exactly happens when we experience stress, and what is really going on in the body that's affecting our health and making us sick? And furthermore, what can we do about it?
The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
Judith Johnson. She is the developer of the Energetic Clearing Process, or ECP, which helps people to release trapped stress from their body and restores the normal energy flow so the body can regenerate and heal itself. Now, Judith, stress is a big deal these days. I mean, especially this day and time. It just seems like everybody's stressed, and I know I've talked about this different times on this show, but it's a big topic, and it's an important topic. And, what I'd just like to ask is, explain what happens when a person, briefly explain what happens when a person experiences a very negative, stressful, even a traumatic event. What's going on in the body?
It depends on a person's copability, their ability to handle stress. Some people can handle a lot of stress, and people can handle very little stress.
Okay, why is that?
There's a new word out, it's called resilience. Mm-hmm. It's according to the person's resilience to how much stress they can handle. If people have been trained to handle high levels of stress, then they don't become stressed out because they have the tools to handle it.
Okay, so it's basically how you've been trained, and if you have the tools or not, to know how to handle stress.
How to handle it.
Okay.
Say one person will be in a traumatic event, and they don't experience PTSD, and the other person will experience high levels of post-traumatic stress. And that's because one person can deal with it, the other person cannot.
Right.
And
right.
Some people will go into fight or flight or run away from it, and some people will freeze. They don't have the tools to handle it, and they go into just a frozen state.
Okay. All right. Well, what is actually going on in the body when you experience, say, if you're in a car accident, what is actually happening in the body that's precipitating, potential illnesses down the road because of the stress?
One of the most forward thinking is from Dr. Peter Levine or Stephen Porges, and they talk about the vagus nerve.
Okay.
And they talk about the ability of the vagus nerve to decharge the body, to decharge the nervous system so that high levels of stress will not be held in the body. If the vagus nerve is what is faulty, then a person will not decharge the energy.
Okay.
It will not decharge the energy, and a person will stay in what's called the sympathetic nervous system for long periods of time.
Okay. So it's the problem with the vagus nerve. Now, the vagus nerve is one of the main nerves of the nervous system, correct? And doesn't it connect to most all of the organs in the body?
The vagus nerve connects to, it's the only nerve that goes to the brain or to the brain and all the organs in the body. It's the nerve that decharges energy, or it's the nerve that, if it's not faulty, will help us relax. It will help us, all the organs in the and glands to relax.
Okay, so the problem is when it gets so stressed and doesn't discharge the stress, then it stays in that sympathetic or fight or flight mode, which keeps the body in a stress state, and it's in that stress state that the body can't heal. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay, so what happens if we don't release, you know, when we don't release the negative energies, well, we're just staying in that stress state. So when we release the negative energies, then the vagus nerve can relax and the body can go into the parasympathetic state, which is the more of the relaxed state where things just work better and where healing and regeneration can take place and that kind of thing. So that's why it's really important to get rid of the stress from our bodies so that our bodies can truly relax.
Yeah. People with chronic stomach aches, with heart palpitations, with tight shoulders, with kidney problems. All those are different, are created by a faulty vagus nerve.
Okay. Okay.
And that faulty vagus nerve is because they've stayed in a stress state so long.
And that makes the vagus nerve then become faulty over time.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is very interesting, and we're going to take a quick pause. We'll be right back. We're going to talk more about the vagus nerve and talk more about the illnesses and the things that can come from this. And I'm going to tell you a story about something that happened to me when that caused a huge amount of stress, and something that happened after it that actually applies to what we're talking about today. I think you're going to want to hear that. So we'll be right back. Okay, this is Beverly Butler. You're listening to The Misdiagnosed Life. We're on the America Out Loud Network. I want to remind you to be sure and download the America Out Loud app. You can download it directly to your iPhone, and it makes listening to this podcast and other America Out Loud podcasts simple and easy. Now, before the break, I was talking to Judith Johnson, and we were discussing the issue of stress and how that stress can be become trapped in our body and adversely affect the vagus nerve, how the vagus nerve is one of the main nerves. It connects the brain to the rest of the body, and when it becomes faulty, when it gets stressed and becomes faulty, it kind of can stay in that, keep the body in that stress state. And if you experience a stressful event, then the vagus nerve, if you don't discharge or release that stress, then it stresses the vagus nerve and it stays in that fight or flight and can keep the body in that fight or flight state, which is a stressful state, which is makes it harder for the body to relax. And it's in a relaxed state is where the body can heal and regenerate itself. And this, of course, can precipitate health problems down the road, because your body's got to be able to relax so it can heal, and it's supposed to do that every night, you know, when we sleep. And so, but if it's in that stress state, it's kind of hard for it to do that. So what I want to ask you, do you feel like this is the root cause of most illnesses? The problem with it, basically the vagus nerve and stress? Is this how stress really affects us physically?
Yes, I feel it is the cause of most illnesses.
And is this why some people have a hard time getting well? I mean, you know, there are health fanatics out there that do seemingly everything right. They eat right, they exercise, they sleep good, they drink their water, they do all this stuff. But then they're coming down getting really sick. I mean, really sick. Is this why, do you think, that even those health people are getting really sick?
I absolutely think this is the reason.
Yeah, because we're just really, and that's why I stress trying to get to the root cause of all these problems, because it's not good enough to just nibble around the edges on these things. And unless and until you know what the root cause is, then you're really not addressing the real issue, the real, you know, root of the problem, and you're going to continue to have problems till you get to the root of it. And pull that out and fix it, and then you can experience a better, higher degree of health. Now, Dr. Peter Levine, you have mentioned this on your website. He's the founder of the Somatic Experiencing Trauma Institute, and he talks about, he gives an example of how traumatic symptoms, he says, are not caused by events themselves. And this is something Dr. Peter Levine says. He says, but it's rather from the lack of release or processing of the intense energy that's mobilized to meet extreme events. And he gives an example about how when a deer is crossing the road, if he thinks he's about to get hit, you know, you've heard the expression, had to look like a deer in the headlights. Mm-hmm. The deer in the headlights look.
Yes.
Well, you can see deer, and when they do that, it scares them. But he says then they go on, if they're not hit and all, they go on, and then they shake. They really shake their whole body. And he says what they're doing is they're releasing that stress that they just had to mobilize to, you know, when they thought they were going to get hit. And so they shook it off, basically, and then they ran off and everything was fine. So obviously the deer didn't get sick from that stressful event. And I wanted to tell you a story about something that happened to me and my husband a long time ago. Well, actually, it's almost 30 years ago now when we got married. It was 2 weeks after we got married. And because this example of what Dr. Peter Levine says reminded me of this, we had been married for 2 weeks, and we go to with my in-laws to Memphis to a wedding, to my husband's cousin's wedding. And we come back that night after we had visited and all, and we came back to the hotel. We're staying in a nice hotel. We park in the front parking lot, get out because we thought it was safer. Now, keep in mind, we're in Memphis. And so we park, my father-in-law parks the car. We get out, walk one row over. And all of a sudden, this young man comes up from behind with a sawed-off shotgun. And one young man comes around the front with a 38 special. Now, the sawed-off shotgun guy was kind of waving it at me and Mr. Butler. And then the other guy that comes around front, he's holding, I still remember seeing him. His arms were like up high because my husband's tall. He's like 6'2". And he's holding the gun like two, he has a 38 special holding 2 inches from my husband's forehead. So we get robbed in the parking lot of this nice hotel. And of course, it's a very traumatic, scary event. And I can still remember it vividly today because it's something I'll never forget. But I just remember that's like the only time in my life that it felt like time literally stood still. And so it's very traumatic. Well, they rob us and they didn't hurt us. And we go on. Well, we get to the hotel and we tell them what happened. They take us to a room behind the front desk and call the cops. So the cops, we're waiting on the cops to come, and everybody seems to be doing fine. We're all shook up and everything, but we're waiting on the police to get there, and I seem to be doing okay, still a little shook up, but then all of a sudden, I start trembling uncontrollably. It was like it's like you had taken me and put me in a sub-zero degree freezer. My whole body, my teeth are chattering, my whole body is trembling uncontrollably. And I knew it was my nerves. It's like my nerves just hit me. And so obviously I realized now more specifically what was happening from what Dr. Peter Levine said there. I was doing like the deer. It just took a little bit longer, kind of a delayed reaction. But my body was shaking off that pent-up energy that I had stored when we got robbed. Is that what do you think was actually happening then?
That was what was actually happening. And Beverly, if you had not gone into that shaking response, you would have experienced post-traumatic stress. It would have manifested itself in many, many different ways later. It could be as simple as possibly wetting the bed, the fear of heights. Many unexplainable symptoms would start developing if you had not experienced the shaking.
Yeah, well, you know, it was not anything I did on purpose. It just happened. So it's just like my body just said, we've got to get rid of this, and that's what happened. So I'm very, very thankful that happened. So are you saying that actual phobias can actually come from stressful events also? Is this where irrational fears and phobias can also come from?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's not just physical problems that can manifest from the stress, but fears and phobias and that type of thing that can manifest too. Okay, well now, are we talking about everyday stress, or are we talking about extreme stress that can get blocked or trapped in our energy field?
Everyday stress and extreme stress.
Okay, so all of it. So should we make a practice of just shaking every evening before we go to bed? I mean, how do we release this daily stress?
The brilliance of Dr. Levine's program is that he teaches us how to listen to the sensations in our body.
Okay.
And say, for instance, I've got a pain in my shoulder. And it's just a, if I describe it as a sensation and I listen to it, there'll be another sensation, perhaps in my leg, and the sensation or the stress in my shoulder will dissipate, and then something will move into my leg, and it tends to migrate over the whole body. And if I really learn to listen to that, those stressors, my body will lead me to where I need, where and how I need to release it. My body may go automatically into the shaking.
Okay.
And I just shake it off. And Peter teaches a methodology in somatic experiencing to help the body release those old stressors. And it's not emotional stressors. It's all held in the nervous system.
Okay. Okay. And so now, is it trapped? Now, are you saying it's trapped energy or trapped stress or blocked stress in our energy field,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, it's stress that hasn't moved, that doesn't have anywhere to go.
Okay.
Say for instance, recently I had a car wreck, and I broke my arm. And when I started tracking the sensations in my arm autonomic nervous system, my arm wanted to move the steering wheel, and that energy got trapped because I couldn't move it. And my arm, the muscles in my arm were very frozen. And so when I started releasing some of that trapped energy, my arm started shaking. And,
okay.
And then my whole body started shaking. And,
wow.
And that was the body's way of releasing a lot of the trapped energy of the car wreck. When my arm wanted to turn the wheel a certain way and it couldn't, the arm, that energy was blocked and trapped.
Okay, so there's techniques that we can learn to help the body to release the stress. Because that's hardly ever really, I mean, that particular type of episode is never, of course, I've never been robbed since, but that, I've never shook like that, you know, before. And I mean, sometimes, you know, you can get, you know, when you get nervous, you get a little trembly, which brings up another question. Is that what's happening when we just get nervous, or is that a different type of nervous energy?
Yes, that's what's happening when we get nervous. When we get nervous, many times the body doesn't take action, and it just gets trapped. That's all. Yeah.
And so when we're nervous and our body's shaking, that is that trapped energy trying to be released.
Right.
So it's really good to do that. And would it be good if you're nervous to just walk around if you can? And does that help dissipate the energy? Or is it a certain way the body has to dissipate it?
Well, the next thing that would probably happen after the shaking is that your legs may start wanting to run. Just instinctually. And if you allow your legs to do what they want to do, I've had people that I've worked with that just start running instinctually. You wanted to run and get away from that situation.
Right. The fight or flight literally is kicking in.
Yeah. And your legs will want to run and run very fast and so that you could get away from the danger. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't run away. And
okay.
So after the shaking, you may feel an instinctual response to run.
Well, should you run just for the sake of just helping your body try to process it?
The best way to do it is to breathe and allow that instinctual response to happen. If you think about running and you run, that's a thought running. But the instinctual, that instinctual running is much more powerful than just running.
Okay. Explain instinctual running. Is that just releasing your body as if you're running? You know, and I know we're kindly talking on a subconscious level, these things happening.
Absolutely. Let's see. The instinctual running would happen without you thinking about it or saying, I'm going to run. The legs would just start automatically running, and you would intensify that movement.
Okay, so you should go ahead and do that then, just instinctively. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, listen to your instincts.
Listen to your instincts.
That's just your body's way of handling the stress. And that's why it's good to have moments every day to just be silent and just be quiet. And I'm learning this more and more myself, because I'm used to be the type of person that, you know, I wouldn't be quiet and still. But I'm beginning to do that more and more, because we really do. I mean, I'm learning the importance of that, because we really do need to learn how to listen to our bodies and to just listen to you know, just a stillness and that kind of thing. And I think there's a lot of healing that can happen for just being quiet and just meditating for a few minutes every day.
And I want to add something to that. Listening to your sensations.
Right.
Where is your breath going? Is it going to your belly? Is it going to your ribs? Is it going to your chest? Does it feel full? Is your body tightening to hold your breath? What muscles are tight? Is there any little twitches going on in your body? Is your chin shaking? All those little sensations have messages if you know how to listen to them. And it's very important to learn how to listen to them, because they can take you into very important places and give you a gift, and a gift of knowledge, a gift of release, a gift of many, many kinds of gifts.
Okay, so what is it like if we're being still? And I know many of us, if you just get still and quiet, we can feel all kind of tinges and a little pain here and a little pain there. I know I've experienced this. What should we do when we start feeling that? I mean, just kindly breathe through it, or try to figure out or ask what is going on and see if anything comes to us. And I mean, how do we, you know, how do we process that, the information we get? What do we do with it?
To process it is to let it be and see what happens next. If you notice a pain in your arm, notice what happens next. And notice what happens next. Don't put any interpretation with your mind. It's just notice it and let the body take you to the next phase. And just notice the next thing. Don't try to do anything with it except notice it.
So is this the body's way, if we're still and notice it and just let it process? Is it almost like we're watching the body and feeling the body process the stress? Is the body trying to process it as we're feeling this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's processing it through.
And if we're quiet and we pay attention to it and just allow it to happen instead of fighting it and trying to suppress it, then we can let it process on out of our bodies.
Yeah. Our body is our temple, and it will do what it needs to do to heal itself if we allow it. The problem is we try to do something. We pop a pill, we take some medicine, we on and on and on, and we make it worse and worse. But if we just listen, if we listen to it, that's when the miracles can happen. And noticing it and allowing it to take its space, and then noticing the next step and the next step, will always go back into balance.
Okay. Yeah. And so this is just, and of course we're not giving medical advice or anything here, but what we're doing is just talking about how we can just let our bodies process the stress and get the stress out of our system, which I think this is very, very interesting to me. Now, you developed a technique that you call energetic clearing process. Now, for people that have more, you know, more serious issues or problems, especially traumas, especially people that have been, I know you've worked a lot with chronically sick people, of course, you know, they're going to their doctor and everything, but as an add-on to their treatment, sometimes they use your technique and you treat them with your technique and you help them to release that stored stress. Tell us a little bit about your technique and what it does.
There's very specific neurosomatic points on the body that if you hold them for a long period of time, they begin to activate the nervous system, and when and they access the vagus nerve, and holding them for a long period of time will help titrate that energy out. And people that don't know how to listen the body sometimes need to be trained, and they need to develop or have an outside person help them track through those sensations. And so I hold specific points on the body so that a person can begin to learn to listen to those sensations.
Okay, so that's what they're doing also. It's you're holding the points on their body, but you're also teaching the person how to feel the things, that's the different sensations in their body.
Yeah, say they get chronic heart palpitations. They're diagnosed with hypertension. That can be, that's a product of the vagus nerve. How do you learn to listen to the first time that happened? That could be heart pain because someone left them or someone died that they haven't expressed. So what I do is help them begin to listen to the sensations and express what the heart wanted to say at the time, and those palpitations will go away.
Okay. So now, how did you develop this technique?
How did I develop? That's a very good question. I started about 45 years ago learning as a psychotherapist. I kept asking the questions when I was in training with mental therapies. Where is the body? What does the body have to do with the mind? I started going into body work, learning how the voice of the body, and what does that have to do with the mind. And through progression of about 45 years, I developed a training program that teaches the mind's connection to the body and the spiritual interface, or the energetic interface. And so, and what do your belief systems have to do with those sensations in the body.
Okay, so we can have, so our belief systems, which other people have noted this as well, so our belief systems, our negative belief systems, and this is a point that you really do well at talking about, our negative belief systems cause a lot of stress in our bodies, don't they?
Absolutely.
And you help people work through these. When you're working with people, do you help them, or do they, through this technique, learn to release those negative beliefs?
They learn to change those beliefs.
Okay.
The beliefs that they're holding is not serving them. And many times they don't know where those beliefs come from. They could be... a byproduct of the parents' thinking, of other people's thinking, and they don't really know what their true beliefs are. And what I do is help them to get to the beliefs that are connected with their heart.
Okay.
So that they're not infiltrated with other people's beliefs.
Okay, so you help them to know what those negative beliefs are, and are they able to put two and two together? Are they able to, through your process, say, okay, this is the negative belief I have, and this is the stress I'm feeling from that negative belief, and when you work on them and release that stress, can they feel the stress leaving their body that was connected to that negative belief system? Is this what happens?
This, you got it beautifully.
Okay, so they can connect the two. So they know for sure that this stress was causing from this belief system. Because I know I've had something like that happen to me, and it's been profound when you realize certain negative belief systems. Okay, so this has got to be pretty profound to your clients. I mean, do they have these aha moments when they actually feel the release?
Yeah, they will start the shaking. They'll start shaking with an emotional response. And actually, you can feel the energy. You feel the energy as it begins to release, and they feel it. And when they release it, there's always another belief, a belief that's aligned to who they are that comes in.
That is a good belief.
That's a good belief.
So basically, you're replacing the bad belief system with a good belief system. Because you always have to replace the bad with a good. You can't leave an empty space anywhere.
Right, right.
Okay. So that, now, does that happen on its own? Or does it just automatically come to them? Well, this is not my belief anymore. And then the new belief, they just automatically know that.
Yeah. Okay. And I help them with that.
Okay.
Their bodies know what the truth is, and what resonates with that deep, what resonates with the body, the belief that resonates with the body, they know what feels good and what feels bad.
Okay. And do you see a lot of people then, from then on, you have witnessed people then proceed to get well?
They get better. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Where there have been, especially, I know you've dealt with some chronically sick people. Have you literally seen people that turn around where they're not chronically sick anymore and they get a lot better, like you said, even the chronically sick ones?
Even the chronically sick can get better.
Okay. Because this is at least part of the root problem of why they've been chronically sick to begin with, is that stored stress. Okay. Well, there's a book out there that you've talked about Stephen Porges, and what you're talking about is the polyvagal theory. So I want to mention this to people, so in case they want to read more about this theory and learn more about what we're talking about today. Again, the book, you can get it, I'm sure, on Amazon, the polyvagal theory. I'm going to get this book. I haven't actually gotten it yet, but I'm going to get this book. And it's by Stephen Porges, P-O-R-G-E-S. And it explains what you base your work on. And I do think it would be good if people are interested in it and getting this book and reading it. And you can also go to your website, theenergeticclearingprocess.com, and you can read more about this process. And you also have a list of practitioners on your website. If people are interested in getting a practitioner to work with them on some of this stuff, then they can go to your website and they can contact you. And you also have a list of practitioners, as I said, on your website. Okay, well, thank you, Judith, for taking your time out for this podcast, and we've really enjoyed it, and I think it's some a very good work that you're doing, and very helpful and important information. And thank you for listening. This is Beverly Butler with The Misdiagnosed Life. We're on talk radio and on all the podcast sites, and we're on tons of talk radio sites now, our stations, and we're also on the America Out Loud Network. So take care. Until next time.